Welcome to the Cup and Saucy Book Club. I'm Jen.
And I'm Zanna.
What's in your cup today, Zanna?
I have Get Clean Herbal Tisane from the Republic of Tea. I don't really have anything I need detoxifying, but it's a nice herbal and it's ASC time, or after safe caffeine time here on the East Coast. How about you?
I also have a Republic of Tea. This is the second of that.
They got a lot of tea.
Yeah, I have a lot of tea from them. I like them.
I mean, Republic of Tea has a lot of tea.
They do. Yeah. But this is the second of the Bridgerton series that I picked up. And this one is a caramel vanilla black tea.
That sounds great.
It's a caramel vanilla macaron tea is what they call it. And it's warm and just absolutely delicious. And I even have it today in a very special cup that was in a swag bag from an event that I attended without you last year, Love and Devotion in Ontario.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the cup was the merch from our guest today.
Oh, cool.
Michelle Mars. And she has an unhealthy obsession with coffee, caramel, and funny t-shirts. And there is nothing unhealthy about any of those obsessions.
No,
I just want to state it for the record. She's a single mom.
Two out of three for me.
Yeah. Single mom of two amazing, kind, and creative dragon children, which I love. Has naturally purple hair and loves nothing more than talking about books, kids, and living your best life. She enjoys reading romance, traveling, and writing stories that make her readers laugh, sweat, and swoon. And they definitely do all of those. So welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you very much for having me. It is great being here.
And so I have this cup that I have. So for listeners are not going to be able to see this, but it is from, it says Welcome to the Frisky Bean on it, which is, the Frisky Bean is the fictional coffee shop from your, it's Frisky Connections and Frisky Intentions. And, Frisky Connections, the Frisky Bean is the coffee shop run by the FMC in that particular one.
Yes.
And I love this place. I want this place to exist in reality.
Right?
This place.
So do I.
But tell me though, is it inspired by something, or is it just something that you wished in would be?
It was wished into creation. I was sitting with some girlfriends at a Starbucks, and we just started joking around about food names, and I started coming up with all of these spicy food items. And you know, from there I was just, this has to be in my book, like,
right,
I have to create this cafe. And food's always played a big part in my stories, so it was a perfect fit for me.
I mean, so give our listeners just a sample of some of the names of the items that are available for sale at the Frisky Bean.
There's the most popular item, of course, is the Bondage Banana Bread, also known as the 3B.
Yep.
There's the Virginal Vanilla Latte. There's the Cappuccino O-O-O.
That was my favorite.
That's just a few of the things you might find.
So Summer is the female main character from Frisky Intentions, and she is co-owner of the Frisky Bean. Her co-owner is her friend Kevin, and Kevin is the creator of all of these orgasmic treats that they sell. And I have to know this right off. Please tell me that Kevin gets his own book. He's getting his own
book. Gets his own book. I even have the preliminary cover for his book.
Oh, and nice.
It is stunning.
Wonderful.
It is so good.
Do we have a title already?
Frisky Kitchen. What else would his book be called?
Oh, of course.
That works.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
He's getting a second chance romance. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, looking forward to that. So do we know when that's coming out, or is that still Is that still
That's still in the future, because before his book comes out is Frisky Business, which is Jessica's book, her best friend that she's written.
Yes.
She has two besties, Kevin and Jessica.
This was my first read. Frisky Intentions was my first read of 2024. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
It's a fun place to be, you know, that, that there are these, whether it's a, you know, small town or a little coffee shop or something like that, where it's just like, okay, this is just a nice place to hang out for a while. And this is one of the things that I enjoy about the books of yours that I have read, is that I feel like I read, particularly last year, I read a lot of dark romance and places, you know, where I didn't always feel like, because the characters didn't feel safe, I didn't feel safe, but that's not what's happening here. It is very much the rom-com of, okay, everybody, you know, you might have an enemies to lovers, but it's because they share a neighboring wall and one is making more noise than the other one, or, you know, it's not end of the world sort of world to live in. And particularly after all of those dark romances, thank you very much, Michelle, because it's a nice palate cleanser after all of that.
Yeah, so, that's kind of what it was for me, because a lot of the books that Jen had been assigning to me were pretty dark, and so I was like, you know, I need something. And I was looking at who we had coming up. I'm like, I'll check that out. I'm like, oh, that was really sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I totally am a cross mood reader, and so I will go dark a lot of times myself, and then I need something, you know, even for me to palate cleanse. And so I definitely write on the lighter side. Yeah. Very sexy, but on the lighter side.
Oh, yeah. Very sexy. They're not long, but they are steamy. They are spicy.
Saucy.
They will definitely get a saucy rating from us.
You know, it's funny because most people will say, you know, they're very spicy. And then I had one person who was like 3 out of 5 spicy. And I was like, what do you consider 4 and 5? Like, I want to know. I need those recommendations, because I would not put my book in.
Is that a saucy scene every other page? You know,
right?
I mean, that might be like straight up porn.
Yeah,
that's
veering into erotica, I think, than romance.
That was what
you
I
know,
wondered.
There's nothing, not to kink shame, there's nothing wrong with that. Those are fine. It's just sometimes you actually want a story with your porn.
They're enjoyable and, you know, and steamy and funny, because particularly I'm not going to do spoilers for anybody who hasn't read, but there's a couple of scenes in Frisky Connections that I just like, okay, don't laugh. I can listen. So I tend to listen to books more often, and I can listen to a lot of very dark scenes, a lot of very steamy scenes with a totally blank face. But if it gets funny, then I have to be by myself, because I'm just laughing at random and people are looking at me like I'm nuts. So can I read a book on a ferry? That's, you know, how funny is it? Can I read it on the ferry? I can't read your books on the ferry.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny, because speaking of coffee shops, I actually get a thrill, because I am an audiobook reader, that I get a thrill listening to spicy scenes in a coffee shop where no one knows what's in your ears. I don't know why that gives me such a thrill, but it does.
It's the
The laughing. Oh.
Yeah,
it's the secret pleasure thing, you know. Yeah, where you've got a dirty little secret.
Yeah, nobody knows. And so you can just, if you have the poker face for it, you know, I do know of people who can listen to the funny stuff in public, but they can't listen to the spicy in public because they blush or it shows on their face in some way. But yeah, the funny stuff, you are my stay at home read. You are my stay-at-home read. And so you have there's another series of yours, the Love Wars series.
Yes.
And so tell us about that. Tell us about how that came about.
So that Moving Jack was the first book I wrote fully, like ready for publishing. And I'll be frank on how I got there, because it was funny. I read romance now forever. I can't even remember when I started. 15, I don't know. And
you're my people.
I kind of dropped it around the time when I had kids. Mm-hmm. I just was so busy being a mom. And then later, after they started to get a little older, I was back into it. And at the time, I was also looking for like work that I could do from home, you know, and like figuring out what I want to do with the rest of my life now that I wasn't doing my old career. And my friends were like, why aren't you writing romance? You love to write, you know, you're love to read romance, and why aren't you writing it? And it was the stupidest answer. I was like, because I'm a mom. Like I knew I like the erotic. I like the erotic stuff. And then I looked at every author I loved. I'm like, they're all moms.
They're all moms.
Like, why not me? So yeah. I started with Moving Jack because I said, if I can write a vampire and an alien together, I can write anything. And I knew I liked writing humor. Uh-huh. So I was like, let's see if I can make this work. And if it doesn't work, at least it's an exercise in, you know, going there.
Sure.
Right.
And so I started writing it. And the more I wrote, just the more in love I fell with these characters and their friends and the whole situation. And so, yeah, I like to think I made it work, considering, you know, I've got readers that really love it. So mm-hmm. for at least for some people, well, it really works.
And you've got several books in this series. So there's Moving yes. Jack, Chasing Rory, and Embracing Arena, and
Embracing Arena and yeah, Claiming Jill.
And Claiming yeah. Jill. And then you have another one in this series coming out. Is that right? And
oh, yeah.
And that's... what's the title on that one? Adoring Alexis.
Adoring Alexis. Yeah. It's a short story that takes place in that world.
Oh, okay. So
that one's a kind of filler, and those characters will come back. That one was written because I was participating with 1001 Dark Nights short stories.
Oh, okay.
That they gave out. So I applied with that story and got in, and I was shocked because 1001 Dark Nights was one of my like goals. You know what I mean? I may not be one of their roster, but I got into their little gift they gave away.
Yeah.
So that was very special to me. And so I've expanded that story. I doubled it in size. So it was like 5,000 words, and now it's about 10,000. Because if I was going to release it, I wanted to make it a little bigger.
Yeah.
A little more robust.
But it's still
coming out soon.
Novella style.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Novelette. It's 10,000 words. Yeah. And I also just got the audio back for that. So that'll be going up in ebook, audio, all of the above soon.
The novelette is coming out in audiobook. So do we have narrators for that?
We do. It's Bryant Walker and Lacey Laurel.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So we'll look forward to hearing that one. And that's that one is for Adoring Alexis. It's not getting a title change, right? And
no,
then
that's the right
thing. So then you also have a collection coming out for it set within the Frisky Bean world.
Yes.
And so it's the Frisky Collections.
Yeah, Frisky Collections, Queer and Frisky, Volume 1.
Wonderful. And those is that standalone novellas? How are you doing that?
So I had participated in two anthologies where I wrote queer stories, so short stories for that. And I decided, how am I going to release these? I didn't want to release them one at a time. And so I decided to make a queer collection. So it's going to include Frisky Rivalry and Frisky Arrangement from the anthologies I was part of, Imperfect Date and Queer and Cute. And I'm also adding a third story called Frisky Engagement for two of the characters you met in Frisky Intentions.
Okay.
Actually.
Great.
So that's going to be the third story in that collection. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
And we will make sure to have all of these listed down in our show notes for this.
Yes.
So that everybody can find it when they do actually come out. Going back to the Love Wars series for a minute. In the first one, you put together an alien and a vampire, which, I mean, makes total sense to me. How many how many geekdoms did you draw inspiration from for Love Wars?
Wow, quite a few. In fact, I keep waiting for someone to say something about the chapter titles. This is my little hint to the world. No one has mentioned them. I'm waiting for that right geeky person who's going to recognize.
So what are some of the chapter titles?
I went for a bunch of different things to do with Jack. And also some geeky movies. So like See Jack Run, Don't Know Jack, like the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Close Encounters, Jack in the Base. Okay. Jack B. Swift, Serenity My Ass. So they all have to do with...
Yeah, there's a few familiar geekdoms in there.
And I did the same thing with Chasing Rory, but with Chasing Rory it goes even deeper. Look at that real quick, because Chasing Rory takes place, you know, in space. It's like a road trip through space. So in each of these books there's a first person point of view section in the very beginning of every chapter, because for instance in Jack she's writing her blog as I Byte, B-Y-T-E.
Oh, nice.
And then in Rory, she's doing captain's logs.
Oh, nice.
Star
date.
Yes,
that kind of thing. So for Chasing Rory, I have Encounter at Knife Point, the previous battle.
Nice.
Hide and Cat, The Naked Needs. When the ship breaks. So if someone's very in the know with the Next Generation season.
Oh, yes.
So I'm waiting, to hear back about all these little Easter eggs I've dropped into these books, because I haven't heard a lot about it.
Well, I don't know about you, Zanna, but my geek heart is very happy right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess there is definitely a crossover in some respects between geekdoms and romance, but there's not as huge of one as, I mean, there's a lot more people that are not geeky who are into romance than.
Well,
I think it's growing.
It's growing. I haven't given you paranormals to read.
You haven't, to be fair.
There's a lot in paranormals. So.
Yeah. I think that if you read a lot of sci-fi and paranormal and fantasy, you'll find that there's a lot of geeky crossovers.
I can see that.
Yeah. I even have crossovers, which I haven't heard about yet, from the two series into each other a little bit.
Okay.
Little Easter eggs I've hidden.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, now we're just going to send everybody on the scavenger hunt to go find them all.
Right.
Yeah.
We will just put a reminder in the show notes, but we're not putting any no spoilers and no Easter eggs. You got to find them yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were saying that your love of romance goes back a ways. Yeah. How did you first discover it? Was it like with me, it was family members who read romance and then I borrowed their books. So is that similar for you, or did you find it on your own?
It's kind of a funny story. My mom wasn't that much of a reader, honestly. My dad read, but he read mostly like periodicals and stuff to educate himself on different things in business. But I was in our basement one day, and I was always a reader. I read so much, including lots of Anne Rice, and I read Shakespeare for fun. You know, like I was always a reader. But I got to the basement one day and found this set of Silhouette books that my mom had won and thrown into the basement. And I was like, books.
Books.
Sure. Why not? And I could not drop romance after just those three short books. I still have those three books.
Oh, good for you.
I still love them so much. Mm. Read them so many times over the years. But, you know, that's how I started, is I would pick up at the grocery store that from then on every like Silhouette Desire or Silhouette
Special Edition.
Special Edition.
Yes.
Like, Yeah, so whenever I'd get there, she'd go grocery shopping and I'd be reading the backs of all the books to see which ones I wanted to read. And so, yeah, I started pretty early on. And I made a big leap because I know by age 18, I was reading Anne Rice's Beauty series.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how I made that giant leap. I must have read so many books in between.
Yeah. That's because, something. I know. I've
that's
read
the
that
deep
one.
End.
Yeah, that is definitely, yeah, you're no yeah. longer swimming with floaties in that one at right. all.
Yeah, I even worked in an office when I was 19, and an older woman who was probably like late 20s, early 30s had heard that I was reading the series or had read the series. She asked to borrow Anne Rice's, you know, first book, and she came back. She's like, oh, "I can't read this." And she's like, "But how does it end?" You know, like she had to know. Who did she end up with?
I am clutching my pearls, but I just need to know.
Right.
Yeah, it was very funny, but so I basically read from then on. I was reading Lindsay, Joanna Lindsay.
Jude Devereaux
Jude Devereaux, of the historicals, all the, you know, the bodice rippers, and I was very into it.
Yep, she's definitely my people, Zanna. She's done the bodice rippers too. Yeah.
Yep.
Know, it's amazing when you look at romance books today and where we started. Yeah, it's amazing that the genre survived. Because there's a lot of stuff that was just like, wow.
Yeah. So I had a brush with fame early on, too. I worked for a game company. Mm. And this is back when online games were only text-based.
Okay.
And that's how old I am. So
hey, I played some of those.
I
like Zork.
So I was working at this company, and there was a person coming in with her boyfriend who they played the same games. And when I heard the name, I was like basically losing my mind. It was Joanna Lindsay. She came into our office. My little brush with fame, and I couldn't say a word. I'm just staring like, holy cow. That's Joanna Lindsay. So and the funny thing is, I had read her sci-fi series, which I'm sure impacted me and my writing.
Oh, the Lynn Santerre series. Yeah.
Yes. And the first book she wrote, she used those character names in the characters that her and her boyfriend played in the game.
Oh, love it.
A little trivia.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was very cool to read that book and have those two characters in the game.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool. Yeah.
We both obviously go way back in romance, and because you said Joanna Lindsay, and I just went, even though I've read lots of different things, and actually comparatively, compared to the spicy we read now and that you write, it's really tame, you know, actually really, really tame, but it's not closed door, but it's just, it's very mild in comparison.
Yeah, they more hinted at like the things that were happening, and the things that were happening were spicy, but they like kind of hinted at it.
Yeah,
right.
Like, poetically in a way. And like, we're very much nowadays like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Word, word, word.
Down to the details. Yes.
Yes.
And which both are good, and both have and both have their audiences.
Definitely.
So I, you know, not to shame one or the other.
Hopefully not.
But getting into then writing romances, and as you said, you found that all the mommies were writing romances, and this and this is again where we get the term mommy porn comes from.
It's not just the reading it.
It's not just the reading. It's the writing of it. So yeah. did you start off in writers groups that you found the other mommy writers, or did you find them later?
I found them later, actually. Mm-hmm. The way I got into it, I was writing, and then I took this one class my friend gifted me that was an online romance writing class.
Okay.
And in that, they actually discussed RWA and they were going to have a conference soon. And I knew not a soul, but I was like, let's go to a conference. Why not? Like, and I'm so introverted. So it was so hard. Like, I get there and I'm like, how am I going to meet anyone? How am I going to know anyone? But it's going to be good for my craft, you know? And so it was an interesting experience because I'm, you know, you're hanging out 1 minute at home thinking about it. And the next minute you're at this conference surrounded by all your favorite authors.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I was meeting people that I definitely had to figure out my voice. Like, I was like, you got to get words out.
There's got to be dialogue. You have to at least be able to say hello.
Yeah. But it was really, really influential and great. And while I was there, I happened to sit at a table which I knew no one at, and it turned out that one of the people was the head of the RWA chapter in my town. So I was wonderful. Like, oh, I would like to talk to you.
Yes.
Right?
And so, yeah, from then on, I was going to chapter meetings and I was going to like writing sessions, and definitely was a lot of help. And I went to lots of writer conferences, learning and learning and learning as I was writing these books. And so I wrote Moving Jack first and then Frisky Intentions. I actually jumped my...
Oh, so you created both worlds.
Both first.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I have in my head at least 5 different series, like 60 books.
Oh, wow.
At any given time. I just came up with a dark series I might get into at some point, which is totally not my normal writing style. So when I was writing Jack, I had come up with Frisky series, like I said, in a coffee shop. And I was like, I got to get that first book written. So yes, I jumped to the other series and then I jumped back, and I'm like kind of going back and forth between these worlds, one fantastical and, you know, aliens and paranormal, and one very much grounded in everyday and
that keeps it interesting. Contemporary.
Yeah.
Contemporary. Yes. Yeah. And
coffee grounded.
Yeah. Coffee grounded.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I would say that that pun is beneath you, but it's really not, Zana. So
it's really not.
It's really not. It's,
there are
it's
no right puns beneath me.
No.
You don't want to roast her?
No.
Ba-dum-boop.
No, Zana has never.
I'll see myself out.
No, Zana has never met a pun she didn't like. So
this is not entirely true, but it's close.
It's close. In fact, I think that's how I first hooked her in the romance genre. Anyway, is the all of the puns
the
and
punny
the titles. The punny titles hooked her.
I can't resist a punny title.
Well, there are some great ones.
So you've got all of these. You've got all of these worlds in your head. Do you have a system for keeping them all straight or keeping them all separate?
I write down, so I have like started Word documents with each of these different worlds. In fact, this is all new to anyone. The Frisky series came about after I came up with a different series. It's supposed to be it came second from a different series that I came up with when I was on vacation with my family. And that one is going to end up being a spin-off of the Frisky series. So that's one of them.
Oh, okay.
So if it doesn't change, it's going to be the Forever series. So we'll see how all that plays out. But I do keep documents for each of the series that I have in my head and all the different like books that I've already like started finding out. Just little paragraphs, because I'm not a plotter. I don't do like full-on plots. I'm a plancer. I have the idea of where the story's going, but and all but the different major plot points.
Yeah, but then the writing is just pantsing it. Yeah.
The writing, yeah. My characters surprise me all the time, which my mom, who is not a creative type person, she's like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean that your character surprised you? Aren't you the one writing it? And I'm like, yes.
Well, but
I'm streaming.
You're transcribing what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes they say things and I'm like, you did what?
Right. Right.
Well, and so, sometimes they don't want to behave the way that you want them to. I know that I have written some things where I want them to go in a certain direction and they just sort of plant themselves in one place and say, nope, not doing that. Not doing that. And then you can't get the words
out.
Or they get into
fights that you weren't expecting. Or
yeah.
Like, wait, why? Why are you guys are supposed to be getting along here?
Well, and yeah. and so you you mentioned RWA as your training ground, and I would say probably there's a good section of our listeners who are not familiar with that. So RWA is the Romance Writers of America, and it is the largest of the writing associations. But for book events, though, and author signings and all of that, what do you have coming up this year? Where are you going to be and where can we find you?
In March, I'm going to be at Irwindale Spring Book Festival. Okay. It's a library event.
That's coming up totally at the end of this week.
Yeah. The end of the week.
Yes, at the end of the week. It's very exciting. I did it last year and it's a lot of fun. So people should definitely come out for that if they're in the area.
Irwindale, California. So
it's a little bit of a commute for me.
Yeah. Well, it is for me too, and I'm in the same state.
Yeah.
That's true. California is pretty big.
And then you're also going to be where we're going to be at Reader's Take Denver.
Absolutely.
Nice. That's going to be huge.
That's a fantastic one. Yeah.
That's going to be a party.
Yeah, that is going to be a big, big party this year.
I'm actually participating in two panels at that one.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Yes, the LGBTQ+ panel and the rom-com panel.
Nice.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, when I heard I'm going to be on that with Megan Quinn, I was like,
what? Oh, wow. Great.
Oh, yes.
Very, very excited. Very excited for both those panels.
Well, you know what? You both should be on that panel because you both write very funny books. So
that's true.
Yeah, the other authors are also amazing, but she's one of my heroes. So that's why.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I'm going to be in a Policon the following week.
Quick turnaround.
I'm looking forward to that. I've never been part of a Policon before, and I've just heard so many amazing things.
Yeah, so have we. We haven't been to that one yet either.
Yeah, and also, like, it's neat because I think just as far as the conferences are geared, Readers Take Denver, my Frisky series, is kind of probably more of, like, the fitting series. Mm-hmm. Though I'm sure others, you know, people will like the paranormal and sci-fi. But then Apollicon is more of, like, this kind of fantasy sci-fi, you know, paranormal type of conference. So it really works for both of my series to be at both.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you again because Michelle and I met last year at Love and Devotion in Ontario. And are you going to Love and Devotion in San Diego this year? Or?
I am. Yeah. I am going to be there. Yeah.
In June.
Yes.
And I am not 100% sure, but I'm going to try and make it.
See everyone
there. This is.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's in the Gaslamp Quarter. So, it's just a beautiful place. So, I'm very much looking forward to
that. And so I'm just going to make Xana feel a little bit jealous, but I know that our friends of the show, MK Blackwood and Shiloh James, are also going to be there as well.
Nice.
So we'll see. We'll get to see them. And she hasn't said 100%, but C.D. Reese probably too. So, we have a few friends of the show that we can.
Nice.
And we are so happy that we get to add you, Michelle, to our roster of friends of the show.
Thank you.
Because it's been just so wonderful chatting with you, and I knew from reading the Frisky series that I was like, this is a kindred spirit.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I'm so honored to have you ask me to be here. So I thank you.
And so you can find all of the information about Michelle and her socials and as well as everything that we talked about today. You can find that in the show notes for this episode on our website, cupandsaucybooks.com.
Follow us on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing and leave us a review. We're on Instagram and TikTok as @cupandsaucybooks.
Thank you for joining us for the Cup and Saucy Book Club. Join us next week for another chat with a special guest from the world of books.
And probably tangents.
Happy reading.
Cheers.